You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Now, come in on the line. We should have Mark Everton. Are you there, mate?
Kia ora, yes I am.
Great to hear from you. Now, Leander from Audio Culture has teed up this chat. They've published an article recently called, well, it's called Give It A Whirl, which is the name of the documentary series that you put together about 20 years ago on the history of rock and roll in Aotearoa. Would you say that is an accurate summary?
Yeah, it's pretty close. When I was first approached about it, I said, please don't use that word history, because how many shows have I got? Have I got 20? No, I've got six. Six on primetime TV1, I mean, it was quite an achievement. I was quite impressed that Richard Driver and NZ On Air got that together. But I said, we can't do the history. It's never going to be comprehensive, so let's try to define our terms. And yes, it was about rock and roll. And, of course, that begged the question, how did we define rock and roll?
How did you define rock and roll at the time? This is like 2003. I guess around that period, guitar music had made a re-emergence. It was sort of around the rock and roll revival that was happening globally. Did that have a sway on how you put together the documentary?
I'm trying to remember.
Like, I guess the Strokes and Franz Ferdinand and Arctic Monkeys were all sort of bursting onto the scene around that time.
Okay, so yeah, so there it was, especially talking about those bands, predominance of guitar rock. Yeah, I mean, that's still, I mean, broadly post-punk. I mean, I was 18 in 1977, so I was perfectly placed to be, you know, totally galvanised, totally enraptured by the punk rock revolution, as, you know, every teenage generation does. They reclaim their music back from the old fogies who've had their go.
Yes.
It happened in the late 1950s, it happened in the late 1960s, happened in the late 70s and 80s when I was there. So I think post-punk actually continued, for me anyway, post-punk went right through and probably is still being felt today. That's the power of that particular music. But rock and roll we defined as, Neil Young said, rock and roll is the sound of the young spirit. And I really like that because it is about youth and it is about spirit and it is about doing what you want to do. And rock and roll was also defined by us as always the alternative. And of course BFM being the alternative, all your listeners will totally understand that. Rock and roll comes from the wrong side of town, and that's where it kind of starts. It's the young people's music, and it's their music, and they are so jealous and protected. But inevitably over time, if you think of that music as being on the left and the middle ground being on the right, inevitably the right will move towards the left and the left will move towards the right. And when that happens, inevitably another generation will come along and say, that's boring, this is our music, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and away it goes again.
Now, just touching on the BFM connection there, you once upon a time, did you have a show on BFM?
I did the odd show, yeah. I was working in the newsroom at Radio Hauraki, but I knew a lot of the guys and women at BFM. I'm going back to the days of the Andrews, Andrew Dickens, Andrew Boke, Andrew Hawthorne, Debbie Gibbs, Judy Anaru. And I, because I loved the music so much, and I did have some contacts in the record companies, and in those days it was hard to get the music that we wanted to play. You know, I mean, NME was 3 months on the boat from London. You couldn't just dial it up on the internet. I mean, we'd get the NME and there'd be the Smiths on the cover and we'd go, have you ever heard of these guys? No, you couldn't get the records. It was amazing. So I had access to a little bit of the music and I was very, very passionate about it. And although I worked for commercial radio, I didn't have any outlet to play the music that I really loved.
I mean, as a producer in the world of television, yeah, you also did a bunch of Havoc and Newsboy stuff in the late 90s.
Yeah, I did, for my sins. Actually, I had a great time with that. And who would have thought, actually, I would have thought that Jeremy would have done as well as he has. He's a wonderful man. He once told me that he didn't really have any particular skills. He was amazed that people called him a television personality because he said, I don't really have a personality. He said, I'm just polite. I'm very polite. It's taken me a long way. But that was fantastic. I mean, those guys, it was just a, you know, it was a on the road sort of show. It was a traveling show. It was a buddy movie, really. It was those two. It's very hard to find two people who gel as a duo. I worked on Nightline when Belinda Todd and Joanna Paul were together, and they were also completely different personalities, but together they were
forced to be reckoned
just
with.
As one. And same with Mikey and News.
Certainly. Now, we have got some tracks lined up. What would you like to start off with? What should we play and why?
Well, I was just talking about generational change, and I wanted to play something from Mark Williams. When I was a kid, and in my teenage years too, this is before I became a punk, I was very much into reggae, I still am, of course, and very much into soul. Not so much disco. I didn't like disco, but I love soul and I loved rhythm and blues. And Mark Williams was a huge hero of mine. When I was much younger, I remember sitting and watching him on the different shows on Television New Zealand. And it would be, you know, I think there was only one channel in those days. And my dad, who was a wonderful man and a musician himself, but very conservative of his generation. And he would go, who is that guy? What's that on his head? And I'd say, that's his hair, Dad. Well, why doesn't he get a haircut? Well, because I think it's called an afro. What's he wearing? He looks like he's wearing a kaftan. Is he wearing a kaftan, Mark? He might be, Dad. And I remember once he was playing a song, he was playing the keyboards and there was a cutaway, a close-up of his fingers on the keys. And my dad almost fell off the couch. He said, that man is wearing nail polish. And of course, I love that. All of that stuff I loved because my dad, bless him, he didn't like it. And so the generational change, the generational, you know, the axis was so clear there. And Mark Williams, I interviewed Mark for Give It A Whirl. What a wonderful man. And I just wanted to play this song because it really, it's got a beautiful groove. It's called Yesterday Was Just the Beginning of My Life.
You're tuned to 95 BFM. We're currently chatting with Mark Everton, who put together Give It A Whirl, which came out just a touch under 20 years ago. Audio Culture have published an article at the end of April, sort of taking a glimpse at the series, which was billed a New Zealand rock and roll, I guess a series about New Zealand rock and roll stories. Mark, how did you go about putting it together? It's obviously there's a bunch of archival footage, interviews and a ton of stories. What was it like going through the vault of TVNZ archives and putting together this? I guess it's a fairly large piece. Is it, there are about 5 hours worth of episodes all up, 6 hours?
Oh, six times 45 minutes. If a commercial hour on TV is 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So not actually a lot of time. When you get down to it. Going through the TVNZ archive, that was a bit disappointing. I mean, so much was lost. Back in the day, film was very expensive, and then when they moved to tape, that was expensive, and they just used to recycle it by wiping it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no, you know, I talked about Mark Williams being on some of those old shows. I don't think he was on Come On, he's too young for that, but Happenin' possibly. And I met Barry Jenkin, a lot of your listeners would know Barry, when Barry did Radio with Pictures. Well, there is 13 seconds of Radio with Pictures with Barry Jenkin in the vault. That's it. So we actually had to go out and find our own archive, and we tapped a few of our contacts straight away. But a lot of the problem was that in the late 50s and early 60s, a lot of that stuff had been lost. And Michael Higgins, who was the researcher and associate producer, and I did a lot of work going out and visiting people. And Michael ended up going underneath people's houses and searching through suitcases of old photos. And we got a lot of stuff from Mike Chun, got a lot of stuff from Phil Warren, the old Phil Warren archive. So that was, and we had Anna Bailey, who was did an incredible job on assembling the archive. So we had, I love still pictures. So I said, if we can find some still pictures, as many still pictures as we possibly can, ones that haven't been seen before, that's going to be good. Moving pictures, yeah, there was a bit, you know, especially when you come to the 70s and, or the late 70s and the 80s, 90s. Before that, it was pretty thin pickings, I'd have to say.
I mean, if obviously it's up on Audio Culture, but there is some behind the scenes stuff or stuff that didn't make it into the original documentary series up on NZ On Screen. I mean, I haven't had a chance to dig into those, but what appears in those episodes?
Well, they're actually interviews. They're longer form interviews because, as you'd appreciate, we could only feature a small percentage of the actual amount of interviews that we got. What I should say is, if we did an hour long or 90 minute interview, we might only use, you know, 6 minutes or 7 minutes or something like that. So what you're talking about is there's longer form interviews, and I think Audio Culture have put up 12 so far, and we did almost 100. So there's a few more to go.
Oh wow.
You know, they've done an incredible job. They've edited them down a bit, and included the highlights. But I have to say, I mean, I did most of those interviews, and there were plenty of highlights. They were just fantastic conversations. I think the artists, and they mainly were musicians. We didn't really go for industry people, with all due respect, or radio people or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We just went for the musicians, and we just gave them the time and the respect to sit there and tell their stories. And when we put it together, we edited it. You know, these were rock and roll stories. They weren't just a whole lot of kind of random grabs or sound bites that were slammed together. There was part of a narrative, and the narrative went from episode one through to episode six, and in all the individual episodes as well. So, you know, you've got Chris Knox there. I think I did a 3-hour interview with Chris at his place in Grey Lynn. You've got Delvanius. That was one of the last interviews he did before he passed away. You've got Peter Dawkins, who was a producer. He produced a lot of Dragon, April Sun and Cuba, and he did a lot of other New Zealand musicians as well. And those three men that I've just mentioned, they've all passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in terms of, yes, it's 20 years old, but I think the stories still stand up, and the way that we did it still stand up. And you have now got this archive of interviews with that Audio Culture is starting to put up of people that unfortunately are not here anymore.
Mm. I guess it's sort of a treasure trove of stories and people's first-hand experience, right? You know, it's fantastic to have there available for people to check out.
Yeah. It was a tremendous privilege to do it. I used to sit there pinching myself, thinking I've got the best job in the entire world. I'm talking to some of my heroes, and we're having a conversation, and I'm asking them, you know, simple questions, and I'm listening to them, and they're just telling me how it was.
Nice. Now, what would you like to play next?
Well, I think I would like to play... when we first started, we kind of went... After we defined it was about rock and roll, so we decided, okay, it's about rock music and alternative rock music. So that, by definition, meant, and with all due respect to these other genres, it wasn't about New Zealand jazz or New Zealand easy listening or country. It wasn't even about New Zealand pop music, and that became quite controversial, but it wasn't. We had to define and refine what we were doing. So we said, okay, so it's alternative rock and it's rock music. And so there's a few people in the production team, and we said, okay, why don't you write down your favourite songs, your favourite New Zealand songs, make a list, and then we'll compare them, and that maybe that's where we start. We just start with our favourite songs. And so I think this song probably was on the top of my list, because it just sums up the New Zealand sound for me. I think I was talking to Graham Hill the other day. He said it's the sound of winding down the windows and the hair through, and the wind through your hair if you're driving on the Canterbury Plains or something like that. And it's the greatest driving song I think I've ever heard. And it's no surprise that I picked a lot of stuff from the Flying Nun record label. This is from the Bats. It's North by Northwest.
Let's hit it.
Some people
Everton, the man behind Give It A Whirl, which is up on Audio Culture, and also a bunch of extended full interviews up on NZ On Screen. Were there any stories that came out or within the series that you were very surprised to learn about or find out more about?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I certainly didn't know much about the late 50s and into the 60s. I interviewed Alison Durbin, I Have Loved Be a Man, and Dinah Lee, and a few other people who, Kevin Borich, some of these old rock and rollers. I tell you what, I interviewed Mitch Marston, and it was, and also Max Merritt and Ray Columbus, and all of these three guys in Christchurch, Max and Ray, used to go to the Operation Deep Freeze base, and there was, this is in the late 50s, right, it was the US servicemen who were, and women who were down on the Deep Freeze base in the Antarctic, and they had a jukebox there in their social club, and they had all the stuff that Max and Ray and the guys in the band had never even heard before. No one had heard it. You couldn't get it in New Zealand. This was really rock and roll.
Yes.
And they would learn these songs and they would play them. There was, you'd actually think about New Zealand, a little country at the bottom of the world. We had no way, even into the 1980s, we didn't have any way of accessing a lot of the music.
Yeah.
And Midge used to, he was in Wellington, had lots of bands, and he would go to the ships. The African-American seamen would take him to the ships after the gigs and the clubs, and they would play him Wilson Pickett and Otis Redding. And they would take the records back and learn them again. So, you know, just hearing from people like that about the lengths they had to go to discover new music in New Zealand back in the day.
Wow, wow. Now, we've got time for one more song. What would you like to play and why?
Well, I'd like to play something from South Auckland, and the last episode of Give It A Whirl, it was a difficult episode to do, and we were trying to wrap everything up, and we were trying to say, what is it about New Zealand music that makes it special, and what is it that we can take to the world? And I think in the night, even into the 1990s, when we were making this in 2001, we were still trying to come to terms with who we were. There was a hesitancy, we were self-conscious, there was a darkness perhaps, it was a bit of a front. It was like, don't dig too deeply because we don't know really who we are, and we're scared shitless about that. And that was reflected in our music. But in the last 20 years, since Give It A Whirl came out, I think we've got over that. We've stopped worrying about it too much, haven't we? And who would have thought that individual female artists would lead the way, that we'd have Lorde and Benet and Otis Harding and Reb Fountain and Nadia Reid, you know? And I know, as Dave Dobbin said, the less self-conscious you are, the more defining you are, the more it goes to your character and what you really, really want to do. And if you don't sound like, if you don't try to sound like you come from New Zealand, you'll sound like you come from here. And this song that I want to play comes from South Auckland. It was two cousins, I think they were, Hazana and Brenda. They went by the name of Sisters Underground. It was produced by Alan Jansen, who did How Bizarre, of course, and it just was an amalgamation of Pacifica and New Zealand, and it just hit a chord with me, and I just went, it couldn't have come from anywhere else but this country, couldn't have come from anywhere else but South Auckland, Manukau City, Sisters Underground, and in the neighbourhood.
Right, excellent. Hey, Mark, thank you very much for chatting to us this evening. If people do want to check out more, head along to Audio Culture. It's pretty easy. Google, Give It A Whirl, and Audio Culture, you'll find it there. The whole series is up. And also, as mentioned, NZ On Screen has a whole bunch more interviews if you want to dig in. All right, thanks, mate.
Thanks, Johnny.
Cause if I don't pretty soon, I think I'll go loo-loo. Every day seems like the same old thing. Listen to the brothers talking about the damn Mac-10. I gotta roll, cause I got a feeling. I gotta keep the sound of the underground reeling. And I'm out like bell-bottom trousers. Fruity, funky, chunky, dropping beats by the hour. And you know, the sisters on the boulevard, don't give me props, they're just too damn hard. Stroll right past them, roll right past them.
right past them, even though they talk crap and make me wanna blast them. Because I'm chill, I have to keep subliminal, cause I know my enemies are white collar criminal.
Rolling in the neighborhood.
Child, I got a major dose of funk. I'm sick with the flavor of the thick chocolate stuff, but a pessimistic attitude can get in the way. So when the night comes, all you wanna do is play. So we roll to the club to see if we can get it on, even if we don't know how we're gonna make it home. Cause once on the floor, we can really shake a booty, shaking all our troubles away, doing the duty. Going on, keeping on till the break of dawn. Come every Friday, and I could've sworn I seen the same guy in the same shirt, 1 to 4. Had some trouble with the guys at the door, cause everywhere we go it's like a show. You gotta watch your back, because you never know.
Rolling
in the neighborhood.
On 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
It's just fascination.
Everyday People is the brand.